Lord, you love to hear the cries of your people. And Lord, we cry out to you, Lord, speak to us tonight. We pray that you would, Lord, anoint your message. Lord, we pray that you'd give us ears to hear. And that, Lord, you would make us doers of your word, Lord, and not just hearers. Lord, for what good is it to just hear if we don't put it into practice? And so, Lord, we just pray that you would speak to us tonight through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we lift up our pastor to you right now, Lord. We pray that you would just, Lord, touch his body. Help him to feel better. Him and Lisa both, Lord. We pray that you would just, Lord, visit them, Lord, right now. Give them rest, Lord. And we pray that, Lord, they'd wake up in the morning just refreshed and Lord, as if they had had, a dozen hours for eight. Lord, just be with them now. Lord, we thank you for them. We pray that you continue to use them, Lord, mightily for your kingdom in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Okay, the title of the message this evening is You Are Called. Okay, for those of you taking notes, hopefully you are. You are called. And we're going to speak tonight about the calling that God has on your life. And you may say, well, I don't feel like God's calling me. Well, I'm going to give you some verses tonight. The Lord's going to give you some verses. And you're going to realize that you have a calling on your life. There's something that God has for you to do. Why else do you think you're here on this earth? In and out's good. Yeah, in and out's good. And, my family's awesome. Yeah, family great. I have a great family, too. And we're to raise them up and do all the things that God's called us to do. He has a calling not only for those things, which are very important, your family, raising them, loving them, but he has a calling here in the body for you. And for those that are running around like a chicken with their head cut off, then you can relax a little bit. You probably already know what your calling is. But there's some I know in here that are like, but God, isn't there more to life than what I'm doing right now? There is. And I want to encourage you. Get your Bible ready. We're going to be going through some verses. I want you to read along with me. I'm not going to say look at them later. I want you to read with me because it's important you see for yourself. But before that, I got to give you an announcement. Okay, hold on. Announcement, a Harvest Crusade impact study. For those of you guys that want to be used by the Lord, here's a great opportunity right here. They're going to need helpers for the Harvest Crusade, ushers, counselors, and there's going to be a meeting Monday, June the 27th, right here in this sanctuary at 7 o'clock. They're going to need 750 ushers and 2,500 volunteers. So there you go. What am I going to, is that what I'm called to do? Well, we're going to find out. Sometimes if you don't know what it is, you got to just step out and keep stepping out until you find out what God has for you. So there you go. There's an announcement. Goes right along with the message. If you're interested, back in the foyer is a list of not only the meeting that's going to be here, there's going to be other meetings all over at different churches. So you can find the one that's closest to you, what matches your schedule the best, and you can be there. Okay, you're called. No doubt about it. And you know, if I said that to my son, he'd go, yeah, Dad, I'm called. You call me every morning to make me up to take the trash out. That's not the kind of calling I'm calling that we're talking about here. God's called us to do something for him, to serve him. To serve his people, to love his people. It's very important. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy 1, 9. Verse 9 says, who hath saved us, that is God, and called us with a holy calling, and not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. God has called us. God has a plan for his life, for your life, and he's called each one of us to serve him. I remember back in my BC days, whenever I would think of being a missionary. You remember before you were a Christian, maybe some of you have been a Christian all your life, but remember missionary, all that would come up in your head when you think missionary? I know for me, I would think a missionary is somebody who is has a one-way ticket to Africa or Timbuktu, which is in Africa, But it's a one-way ticket. You're called as a missionary. You're gone. Say goodbye to everybody. You're never coming back again. You know, that's not it. Some people are gone for a long time. Many come back. But I had a misconception of the calling of a missionary. I found out different. I got to go not only to serve on the mission field, and now I get to be here and help get missionaries out there. And God has did a wonderful work in my life. Why? Because I'm somebody special? You know, if you think so, you don't know me very well. Talk to my wife, Kitty. She'll tell you, you know, I'm special to the Lord and maybe to her, but I'm nobody special that God would use me to do that. Other than I just love to serve God. I loved, ever since I was a brand new baby Christian 21 years ago, I came to know the Lord. And from that point, I don't know. It was a gift that God gave me. I just love to serve Him. It's just something that's in my blood. I have to do it. I think that if it was taken away from me, I'd just as soon go home and be with Him. I'm ready. I'd be ready to go. It's just, it's incredible. It's a wonderful life to live. We're not just here to have fun. I wish I had known that I was going to do this because I'd have had a visual for you because I love visuals. But picture a, okay, this isn't morbid, but picture a headstone, okay? And let's say John Jeffrey Kearns, my name's on it. 1956, I was born, 1956. Don't start doing math because going on 49. 1956. There's no date on the other side, but in between whatever that date's going to be is a dash. Think about that. There's a little line in between the day you were born and the day that you're going to die. The question that I would have for you, that God would have for you today, is what's that line going to represent in your life? What is that little dash? If there was like little, you ever go to an auto parts store and you look up, so those of you guys know what I'm talking about. Remember the little thing they used to find your part with? It was like, you can't even read it, but they put it up on the screen. Oh, is that the part? Yeah, that's it. And it's like really, 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 really small. If there was really small writing on that dash and it had everything in your life, what would it say? What would your life represent? Think about that. You know, hopefully there's going to be something in there that's going to be for the Lord. Think about that. And then turn to John. We're going to read about John the Baptist. Really awesome portion of Scripture here. John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 6 through 23. John 1, 6 through 23. Says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15. John bore witness of him, that is Jesus, and cried out, saying, "This is he whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Verse 19. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him again, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may receive an answer to those who sent us? But what do you say about yourself?" And this is John's answer. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. Powerful words. Who in here has a cell phone? Almost everybody has a cell phone, right? You know what the word for voice in the Hebrew is? In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the word, look it up. The word voice is P-H-O-N-E. It's phone. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Got a call. I got a call on my cell phone. Notice there's two buttons on the cell phone. There's a green one and a red one. I hit the green one. Yeah. This is John. John. I'm John. John. I mean, God. Yeah. God, yeah? Oh my gosh, God, you're calling me. Really? You have something for me? What is it, God? No way. You want me to go and do that? God, I can't do that. It's right. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, God, got it. What do you want me to do? All right. Okay, God, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. Bye. Green button. You know what? You're all called. The phone. Think of John out there. The voice. He gets a call from God, and God funnels through him and prepares the way of the Lord. The thing is that what if my phone would have rang and I would have ignored it? How many of us do that? I've done that. We've all done it. What if you would have got a call and you would have looked at it and you would have gone, oh, no way. Forget about it. Red button. How many have done that? I've done that. We've all done that. Or what if we would have hit the green button, and we set it down. And we don't listen. How many of us have done that? I've done that. We've all done it. The thing is that what are you going to do? God's called you. 100% of people in the world, God is called to do something. He has a calling on your life. What are you going to do? That's the question. John answered the calling. And he went out there and literally got his feet wet. He's standing in the river baptizing people. Very important. Look at verse 23. That's where it says that he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Very important. I want you to sometime, if you have a Bible program at home, look it up. Look that verse up. John answered his call. And he's calling you. Verse 6 says that John was sent from God. When the Lord called him, John hit the green button. He didn't hit the red button. He hit the green one and he listened. So let's review what I've said so far. Number one, God's calling you. The thing is, you must answer, and you got to listen to what he's saying. And you might say, you know what? I'm listening, but I don't know what to do. I don't have any talents or gifts. Wrong. You are gifted. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7. Paul saying, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7. Paul says, I wish that all men were like as I am. But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, and another one has that gift. That's 100%. Each one. That's us, you guys. Each one has his own gift from the Lord. You can turn and read 1 Corinthians 12. You can read the whole chapter later on. But that basically is telling us that we at least have one gift. And many of us have even more than one gift. The thing is what are we doing with it? And you may say, well, I'm not sure what it is. Again, don't panic. Take a deep breath like you've heard in the past. Now I'm going to give you a few examples, some biblical characters. Look at Moses. Exodus chapter 4, all the way to the left. One book to the right. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Talks about Mo. Listen to what God says about Moses here. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose that they won't believe me. God's calling Moses. And Moses says, no. What if they don't believe me? Or if they won't listen to my voice? Suppose they say to me, the Lord has not appeared to you. Verse 2. So the Lord said to him, what's in your hand, Moses? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. He runs. Verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it up by the tail. And Moses reached out his hand and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand again. Listen to this, you guys. God took what Moses already had in his hand. He had a staff in his hand. That's what Moses did. He walked around with a staff in his hand. God says, I'm going to use that thing. I'm going to use it for my kingdom, for my glory and honor. I'll use that staff. Cast it on the ground. He did, and God used it. Look at David. Maybe God would have said to him, David, what is that, David, you have in your hand? Little young David, shepherd boy. What is that thing you have in your hand? And David goes, well, God, I got this thing. I twirl around and like hit trees and, you know, target practice with. And I have this rock. It's a sling. I throw it. God says, you know what, David, give it to me. Give me that thing and we'll go out and we'll slay giants together, David. Give me that thing you already have in your hand. You're gifted, David, in that thing. I'll use it for my kingdom. Give it to me, and let's go out and use it together. Maybe Paul. God would have came up to Paul and said, Paul, what is that, you intellectual guy, you? What is that you have in your hand, Paul? Paul would say, I have a pen, God. Or a pencil or a feather thing, ink thing. I write with this thing. And God would say, you know what, Paul? Give it to me. We'll write the Bible together. So I would ask you, what is it that thing that you love to do? That could be the very thing that God is calling you to use. Give it to God. See what he does. What's in your hand? Some of you know my wife, Kitty. I came up to her one day in 98 and I said, Kitty, I think God's speaking to me. I think we're called to go to Mexico. And she goes, really? Well, where? I go, down in Cabo. And she goes, oh, really? Isn't that like the fishing capital of the world? And I'm like, yeah, I guess. But and don't you like to fish, Jeff? Yeah. I mean, don't you like, isn't that been your life, all your life? You love to fish. So wasn't your dad a fisherman? Yeah. But I think God's calling me down there. And she looked at me like, yeah, right. You're being called to the fishing capital of the world. Come on, Jeff. How dumb do you think I am? Make a long story short, God provided the funds for us to go down there. We went down, and within 4 days, we got back on a plane, and God changed my wife's heart to go from, yeah, right, to, we got to get down here. These people need a church down here. They have nobody to teach them the Bible. 4 days, God did that. He used the thing that I love to do. He used that very thing to get me to go down there. Now, would I have went down there if I didn't love fishing? I don't know. I think I got to fish two times in the almost a year I was down there. It was wonderful and caught fish, and that was great. But it may be the very thing. Look at a guy like Britt Merrick. The guy is a surfing giant. God's used that very thing that he absolutely loves to do. He used that thing in Brett's life to reach out to other to surfers in his early days, especially. And I would ask you, what is that thing that you love to do? Do it for God. Whatever that thing is, what's in your hand? What is that thing you love to do? That could be the very thing. It's a good place to start. Do it for the Lord. The thing is when we step out for the Lord, we feel insecure. I always do. I felt insecure before. I was hoping Pastor Jack would walk up behind me over there. Jeff, I got it. Oh, great. Thank you, God. I was hoping that was going to happen. I was totally insecure. I still am. But in the Spirit, the Bible tells us in Philippians 4, 12 and 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you know, all means all. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In the flesh, we can do nothing. But in Christ, we can conquer giants like David did. These kids that were just up here, they're going on a mission trip for 15 days. They're stepping out. You're going to see a whole different, I'm sure some of your are your kids. You're going to see a new kid come back. I remember when my wife first went to Germany, to Russia, years ago, early 90s. She fought it. She sent her passport in late. You've heard her testimony. If you've ever went on a mission trip, you've heard her testimony because I have her come up and give it. But she did not want to go. She went from not to just fighting and kicking. No, I don't want to go. God sent her. She came back, and I picked her up at the airport. I'm like, who is this woman who just got in my car? She's completely different. She's like, all the way home, she's talking about God and witnessing and all this stuff. It's like, yes, Lord. And she gets back, and as soon as we pull up in the driveway, the ice cream, we live in a cul-de-sac. The ice cream man was making a U-turn in our cul-de-sac. As soon as I put it in park, she goes, I'll be right back. And she jumped out of the car. She went and witnessed to the ice cream man. That's what a radical change that God, it just happens that the ice cream man was a Russian guy. We didn't know that, but that was kind of cool how that happened. But God did that. It was radical how God used that. Step out. Verse 14 in John says, Matthew 22:14 says, for many are called, but few are chosen. The word there, chosen, are invited. Many are called, fewer invited. God is calling you. The Lord has given a gift to every person. He wants them to use it. Many sit on their hands and they refuse to serve Him. I call them hand sitters. I don't know. That's just always what I've thought of. And it's somebody, wish I had a stool here. It's somebody that says, okay, God, you want me to do that? Okay, great. And they sit on their hands. And they don't do nothing for the Lord. And it's a tragic thing. What's that dash going to be in your life between the two dates? What's that going to represent? When you come to the end, what will yours represent? Will it be full of stumbling and bumbling like mine? That's me. If you could see all the stuff, you'd go, man, what a goofball that guy is. That Jeff, wow, he did, oh my gosh, I would have quit back then. You know what? I've thought about it, but God's always got me through. Fumbling, stumbling, having incredible trials. We've all gone through things like that. If I told you how many times in the however many years I've been coming here that I've been called into Pastor Jack's office, not for Jeff, you've done a great job. But Jeff, I'm so proud of you. No. I've been called into his office more times than I'd like to admit for Jeff. You know what? Sit down, buddy. Take a break. You know what? We need to talk. I can't tell you how many times. Why? Because I fumble and stumble a lot. I make a lot of mistakes. God's always gotten me up, and he's patted me on the popo, and he's got me going on my way again. Thank God for that. Thank God I didn't quit during those hard, rough, crazy times. I still goof up all the time. I love the analogy. Pastor Jack hasn't used this for a long time, but I love, you probably heard him if you've been here a while, him talk about let the kids play with the oil. Have you heard that? I remember when my son John was little, and he still, not much has changed over the years, just the toys and stuff are a little more expensive, the mistakes, but he is always love taking things apart. And I'd like come home and it's like, not my new fill in the blank. No, not that blank. It's always he's take it apart. But you know, thank God most of the time he'd get it back together. But that's how he's learned. I remember being out, here we go, in a fishing boat out in Loretto. This is before Cabo, okay? I was in Baja, one of my first trips to Baja, and I was with a friend of mine. We're out in a little panga boat. We were fishing. I had my son John with me, and we're out there fishing. And John, he's always busy. Kids are always busy. They're always doing something. They're always taking stuff apart and looking through my tackle box and pulling out lures, you know, tangling things up. And I'm like, John, stop. And 5 minutes later, John, stop. And my buddy finally turned to me and goes, Jeff, just leave them alone and let them just have a good time. And I remember that. That was like 10 years ago. I remember that. And it's like your kid going under your car to change the oil or something. Dad, I want to learn how to change the oil. No, you'll get dirty. But Dad, I want to learn how to change the oil. No, you'll get dirty and you'll have a mess. You'll have black oil. I just poured a new driveway. You can't do that. Stop it. Let them go under. Let them get dirty. Let them play with the oil. And that's what God wants us to do. It's okay to make mistakes. God's told me that over and over. Jeff, go ahead. Come on. Get out there. Go do it. No, God, I'll make a mistake. I'll fumble and bumble and embarrass myself. It's okay. Get out there. Get going. Go do something for me. When we stand before God, God will ask us, what have you done with my son? You've received him. You're a Christian. You're going to heaven, no doubt about it, but what have you done with my son? What have you done with him? I love the analogy. I don't know. I probably stole it years ago, and I probably made it into my own and think that I had an original thought or something. But the analogy of a Dead Sea Christian. You ever heard that analogy before? A Dead Sea Christian. How many of you have been to Israel? A lot of you have been to Israel. You've been to the Dead Sea, right? You've been first. I remember in 98 when I got to go there. There's the Sea of Galilee, fresh water, beautiful. In fact, I went out there early one morning. I brought a little collapsible fishing rod. And I went out there early in the morning before anybody was up. I put a lure on. I'm like, whew, you know, I didn't catch anything. I lost the lure, so I have a lure in the Sea of Galilee somewhere. But a beautiful fresh water up there, flowing. It flows down to the south, from the north to the south. It flows down through the Jordan River, and it ends up in the Dead Sea. Beautiful fresh water. Some of you have been baptized in it. Why is the Dead Sea dead? Beautiful fresh water flowing in. In fact, you go up here to the Salton Sea. Beautiful, well, I don't know, beautiful, but it's fresh water flowing into it. The reason that those seas are dead is because there's no outlet on the other side. Fresh, awesome water, dead, because it doesn't have an outlet. And that's like us, you guys, when we become so plump and full of the Bible, and you know what? We get an incredible feeding every week, twice a week. Excuse me, when Pastor Jack comes up here and teaches us, the Bible just flows out of him. And but what do we do with it? Do we become stagnant? I mean, we're going to heaven. We're saved. Many of us, most of us, I hope, tonight. But what do we do with it? If it doesn't flow out of our life, we're just kind of hand setters. Don't be a hand setter. Get out there. Do something for the Lord. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't try and figure everything out. I have a bad habit of that sometimes. We're getting ready to go on a mission trip in 3 weeks to Heidelberg. I have this plan, you know, calendar and all the stuff down. What are we going to do on this day and this day? And we're going to go here and there. And most of the time when we get there, I wind up going, fold it up, throw it in the trash, because it's completely different than what God wants to do. Sometimes it kind of falls in place. For the most part, we make our plans, but God directs our steps. Don't try and figure everything out. You'll never do it. Hebrews chapter 11. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 7 through 10 talks about Noah. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Faith. Noah had faith. You know what? Before Noah built the ark, it had never rained before. God, can you imagine? God said, Noah, build an ark, it's going to rain. Rain? What the heck is rain? Water's going to come out of the sky. What? Water's never come out of the sky before. Okay, I'll build a boat. Noah goes out, and by faith, he builds this boat. You know, the whole time he's building the boat, over 100 years, he's building this thing, he's preaching. People come by, they laugh, scoff at him, probably throw stuff at him. He preaches to them. Guess how many converts Noah had in 100 years, or 100 plus years, whatever it was. Guess how many? Man, incredible. Zero. No. So be encouraged. Want to be a missionary? Let's go. No. No, you're not going to have any fruit. That's not true. There'll be fruit. But Noah went out by faith. It's by faith. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Verse 9. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He went out not knowing where he was going. He went out not even knowing where he was going. Incredible faith that we should have such faith. And then finally, God wants us to step out in faith. Look at Joshua, one of my favorite verses or portions of scripture in the Bible. Joshua chapter 3. Turn to Joshua chapter 3. You got to read this. Verses 14 through 17. Joshua 3, 14 through 17. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zinnertan. So the waters that went down into the sea of Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Verse 17. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until the people had crossed over the Jordan. You guys, when did the water part? As soon as their feet, their toes hit the water. It was that step. It was that step of faith that they took that parted the water. You know, they could have stood on the banks, you know, right on the edge. They could have stood on there and go, okay, God, part the water. Okay, it's been an hour, God. Okay, ready, part. They could have still been there thousands of years later, waiting for the waters of the Jordan to part. Their ancestors could have picked Grandpa up and moved him aside. They would have still been standing there. It took them stepping out. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that's where the expression came, getting your feet wet. I don't know. But stepping out, that's when something happened, when the waters parted. It was that stepping out. And sometimes, you guys, like I said before, it's by trial and error that we figure out what my gift is. And you may say, well, I don't know even where to start. You know what? There's forms back there called ministry opportunity forms. You can grab one of those things. It has lots of ideas in it. There's lots of needs, different ministries. Maybe one of those is where you can start. Well, I don't know what it is. Then before you're a hand setter, do this. Close your eyes and check one of those things and then go and call the person up and say, I want to start, I want to help. Well, but that's not my spiritual gift. It doesn't matter. To start, find out. You got to start somewhere. Find out what it is. Don't be afraid to step out. Maybe it's parking cars. Maybe it's ushering. I ushered for like seven or eight years in this place. I loved ushering, getting people seated and protecting you, the sheep or the body. It's a wonderful ministry. Love it. Let me tell you. I didn't even put this in my notes, but this is, as Jack would say, this is for free. One of the things that keeps me from doing really stupid things in my life that would keep me from being able to serve, that God would go, whoa, stop, time out. Okay, Jeff, no more ministry for you. We got to put you here on the shelf for a while. And God does that sometimes when we do really, really goofy, stupid things. He'll do that. He's done it with me. Worst time in my life. The thing is that because I love to serve so much, one of my biggest fears in life, you won't find this in the Bible, this is just me. One of my biggest fears in life is not being able to serve the Lord. That He would do that again with me. That I would do something so goofy, so off the wall that He would have to go, okay, time out for a while, Jeff. Come here. I love you. I love you so much, I'm going to put you here for a little while. God, please don't do that. That's one of my biggest fears. That's one of the things that keeps me from doing really, really stupid things. You may say, well, that's not a really good reason. Oh, sorry. That's one of the things that keeps me from doing really stupid things is my fear that God would do that to me again. I don't want that again. So that's one for me. That's one of the great benefits in my life of serving the Lord. Well, but I used to serve, but I got really hurt and somebody stepped on my toes and I was wronged. In the words of Pastor Jack, he often says, put a sock in it. That's what you need to do with that. You need to put a sock in it and just get out there and continue to serve the Lord. Step out in faith. You'll fumble, you'll stumble sometimes, but it's okay. Because God loves you. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest joys in life is serving the Lord. And again, what I started with, otherwise, why would we be here? God made us for fellowship with Him. Of course, Adam and Eve and the fall and sin and all that keeps us from fellowshipping with God until we came to Christ. And so that maybe that's where you're at tonight. Maybe you're somebody in here that's saying, serve? Serve who? I don't even know God. I don't even know Jesus. I want to encourage you, if that's you, after service, there's going to be some prayer lists down here, and you can come up and talk to one of us. We want to talk with you about Jesus, because He has a plan for your life. He loves you. Not only does He have a plan for your life here, but He has a plan for your life in heaven. And you know, eternity is a long time. In fact, a million years from today, for those of us Christians, a million years from right now, this point in time, we'll be worshiping the Lord, worshiping, loving God. And you know, we'll only have just started. It'll only have just begun in a million years. 2 million years, we're just probably getting rolling a little bit, you know. That's how long eternity is. Eternity is a long, long time. The thing is that this body getting older, a little more wrinkled every day. I just barely scrape myself. Remember when your parents used to get, like they barely scratched their skin and the skin would come off and they'd bleed? Like, toughen up. What's the matter, Mom, Dad? This happened to me yesterday, so I guess I'm getting old. Body's getting thinner, getting older. But the Bible says our spirits are renewed day by day. That spirit, that part of you inside your head, your eyeballs, I like to think of it behind your eyeballs. That spirit that laughs and cries, has emotions, loves. That part, that spirit will never die. Whether you're a believer, whether you're not a believer, your spirit will never die. You may have never heard that before. I remember the first time I heard that, I thought, what? I thought only Christians live forever, spirits live forever. Wrong. Everybody's spirit will live forever. Some in an eternal heaven, some in an eternal death. But your spirit will maybe not live. It'll go on forever. Your spirit will never die. The question is, where will your spirit live? Really important. Those of you who don't know the Lord, come up and let's talk. We want to talk with you and tell you about Jesus. That's why we go on these mission trips. In a couple of days, all these kids are going to be out. That's going to be their main job. They're going over there to tell people about Jesus. Where they're going to be a voice. They heard the call, you guys. They heard the call. And they pushed green. God, you want me to go where? No, I can't. God, are you crazy? What's the verse? Here I am, Lord, send me. Remember, who was it?
Isaiah.
Lord, here I am, send me. It's not, Lord, there he is, send him. That's not the verse, okay? You might have tried that verse. I've tried it. God, Lord, call Joe. That's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to say, yes, Lord. What do you want me to do? Did you know that if you're a Christian, you can't say, no, Lord? Did you know that that's not possible? Because if he's your Lord, you're going to say yes. Oh, my gosh, this thing is ringing. That wasn't planned. Turn your cell phones off. Everybody turn your cell phones off right now, please. It was actually the church calling me. I hope it's... Can't be too important. Robin's in here, so it can't be her calling me. And you know, you guys, to close with this, and we'll be done. A little bit early. That's okay. But I'm always accused of being too long-winded. You know, the only failure in life is somebody who has never tried. If you never heard anything else, listen to this. The only failure is somebody who's never tried. If you tried, no failure. God says, awesome. Keep trying. Keep going. I'm with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Go get him. That's what God wants us to do. Be busy about his business. Time's short. The Bible says we're to do the works of him while it's day, because night's coming when nobody can work. We need to be so busy about the Lord's business. So when your phone rings, and I guarantee you, it'll ring probably before you get out of here. God will speak to you. And you may say, well, he never speaks to me. You ever read? You ever open the Word? You ever read? 95% of the time, that's where he's speaking. That's when you can be sure that it's him. If you think God's speaking to you, say, okay, God, if that's you, then show me in your Word. Is he able to do that? Absolutely. That's what I, many times, I'll, okay, Lord, if this is you, I want, and you tell me in your Word. And during my devotions in the morning, he's faithful to show me that that's the thing that he wants me to do. You know what? The Bible says, this is the last verse, Luke 12:48 tells us, to whom much is given, much is required. You guys, we have been given so much in our lives. Incredible. Don't believe me? You know what? There's going to be some mission trips coming up. We're going to be going probably back to India, and we're going to be, Lord willing, going to Africa. We're going to be going to China. We'll be going down to Mexico soon. Any of you who have been overseas into another country, when you step back onto U.S. soil, it's like, Oh, thank God I'm back home. Why? Because we have safety. This is where our God has raised up our families. We have been given much. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. God says, okay, come on, let's go. Ready, let's go. God wants us to go. When you wake up in the morning, say, okay, God, what are we going to do today? I want you to speak to me. What are we going to do today? When I wake up in the morning, the first thing I love to do is roll. I try not to let my feet hit the ground. I try to roll right onto my knees, even if it's for 10 seconds. I'm late. Oh my gosh, they're going to kill me. onto my knees. God, you got to help me today. I'm so inadequate. I need you so much. God, please help me. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm off. Brush my teeth. Do my hair. And I'm off. Dedicate your day to the Lord and watch what He does. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, we come before You, and Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, for Your Word that challenges us, Lord, that speaks to us, that speaks words of love, encouragement, rebuke sometimes. Lord, we thank You for Your Word.